Joe, thank you, worship band. Great job. Don't they do a great job? Give them a hand. I can always tell when my wife's been watching HGTV because it's usually followed by five words that just makes chills run up my spine. Let's go to Home Depot. And I'm thinking, oh no, here we go. There's a project. She's seen somebody on TV do something, and now she wants me to do that. And they make it look really easy on TV, don't they? I mean, here's what I tried to get. I can't get her to understand. They don't show the scenes where things go wrong or they cut a board short. I'm going to tell a little story on her now. When we first got married, I was pastoring a church in a little rural town in southwest Missouri, Castle, Missouri. And I was gone for most of the day, and I came home, and she had wanted me to put a shelf in a closet, but I didn't have lumber. So she said, well, I'll solve that. I'll go get some lumber. So she went to the lumber store, the lumber yard in Castle, Missouri, and walked up and said, I need to buy some lumber for a shelf. And he said, well, how big a shelf do you want to buy or to build? She said, about that long. He measured her hands and cut her a board that length. And it was way too short. Had to throw that board away and go get another one, but I ended up building a shelf. And so she loves those kind of things, and I do them, but she thinks I'm Chip Gaines or Jonathan and Drew. You guys know who any of these people are? You know, she thinks I'm these guys, and I get by, and I do stuff, but, you know, it's just not as easy as they make it. Look, home remodeling, rebuilding is tough. And although HGTV makes it look easy, sometimes it looks more like a clip from a movie from 1986, The Money Pit, with Tom Hanks and Shelley Long. And I want you to watch 3 minutes of this movie. Some of you guys can relate to that if you've ever done rebuilding. But listen, rebuilding a church is no laughing matter. It's hard work. And we don't tend to think about it. We think, oh, well, you know, when we work with something tangible like that, at least when the bathtub falls to the floor, we know we have to fix the floor, and there are things we need to do. But rebuilding a church is tough. And so last week we started paralleling the Haggai's call to go to Zerubbabel and Joshua and challenge them to challenge the people to start building again, because they've been in Babylonian captivity for 70 years, and now they've come back out of that, and God has told them to repopulate the city and to rebuild the city and rebuild the temple. And so as they begin to rebuild the temple, they face some challenges and discouragement, so they stop for 16 years. They quit building. And then God said, Haggai, I need you to call Zerubbabel, and I need you to get these people going again, because my house has to be built. And so last Sunday, I paralleled that with rebuilding the church. And so today I want us to continue that thought of rebuilding the church. And as we do that, we find discouragement along the way, as they did, and we're going to talk about that today. But as we're called out to be Zerubbabel, and I think last Sunday, God spoke to several hearts saying, hey, it's time for you to step up and be a Zerubbabel. Well, I'm afraid that leaves some of you and me with some unfinished business with God. So today we're going to try to pull that together and to finish that business. And I don't know if you remember, in Haggai chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible says this, so the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. But here's the key. The spirit stirred them up. So my prayer today is that as we move on into the second chapter of Haggai, that the Holy Spirit begins to work in our hearts and stirs us up and stirs us to get back to work and to get back to serving and to get back to church and get back to the things that God has called us to do. So I want you to open your Bibles to Haggai chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2. And so it's only a two-chapter book. And so you're going to kind of get the whole context of what's going on with last Sunday and this Sunday put together. So we're going to look at Haggai chapter 2. And we're beginning verse 1. So Haggai chapter 2 verse 1 says this: in the seventh month, on the 21st of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying. So you understand what God is telling Haggai here. He said, I want you to go to the spiritual leader, and I want you to go to the political leader, and I want all the people to hear this message. Starting with the leaders, and then he's going to all the people. And then he says, as we begin in verse 3, he's wanting them to see the situation. And I want you to be aware of that, because until we see the situation, we don't know anything about it. Now, you might be living in a house that's got 1980s decor, and you might not notice it because you've been around it for 30 years, and it seems normal to you, seems fine. Somebody comes into your house, and they look at it, and they think, whoa, this place is so outdated. You might have things in your house that are worn out, and you just haven't noticed it because you're used to it. And so that's what Haggai is being told to say to Zerubbabel and Joshua. You just aren't noticing what's going on around you. So verse 3, he tells them to look. Who is left among you who saw the temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing? In other words, you saw what it was, and what does it look like today? Doesn't this bother you? Doesn't this break your heart when you look at the temple and you see what it looks like today compared to what it was before? So verse 4. Yet now, be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work. You might underline that phrase, it's very important. And work. For I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, but once more I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine. In other words, he's got the money. The gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Let's pray. God, I pray that you add your blessing to the reading of God's word today. I pray that you help us to understand and to form a parallel as we look at the church today. Pandemic has hit us and all the challenges, even rain hit us today, Lord, and affected our attendance. Lord, as we deal with all of these things and we get discouraged, God, help us to understand that you want the church, like you wanted the temple, you want the church rebuilt today. Lord, bless us as we go forward. Bless us as you call Zerubbabel's and Joshua's from this very group, from this church. Lord, I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So as we begin to look at this, there are four common discouragements that occur when we try to rebuild. When it's time to rebuild, there are basically four discouragements that Haggai is talking about here. There are obviously more as we deal with things, but he's dealing with four particular discouragements. And so I want you to see these, all right? You might want to write them down. Number one, when the memory of the past overshadows the reality of the present. So there's no doubt about it, God is saying, okay, look at where we are, look at the condition of the temple, and then think back. Don't any of you remember the temple the way it was? Some of us look back and we remember a different day at First Baptist Church of St. Charles. I mean, there were different days when we had larger groups here and different, and several things have impacted us. One of the things that has impacted us is COVID. COVID-19 has really had an impact on churches and denominations and the church culture entirely. Now, you folks have done wonderful. You've come, you've been faithful, you've given unselfishly. But some still haven't been able to take the step away from home because it's easier, some because of health reasons, and they're not here. And as we look around, we see as the pandemic is sending other variants around, we think, boy, are we going to hit another variant? Are we going to hit another dip? Or we're going to close down? Are we going to do all these things? What are we going to do? And so as we face all of these discouragements and all these challenges, I'm telling you, it is time to make the church a priority. It is time to do some rebuilding. Now, the Bible said, here's what he said verse 3. He said, who was left among you that saw this temple in its former glory, and how do you see it now? How do you see it now? And you look back. I want to tell you something, and this, it's fun to look back. I love looking at old pictures and photo albums and doing all these things, but I want to tell you, nostalgia is filled with selective amnesia. You know what I'm saying? We look back and think, everything was so perfect then. Everything was just how I love it. I wish I could go back to the good old days. Let me tell you something about the good old days, and I'm not talking about First Baptist Church, but the good old days in general. When your parents tell you, oh man, the good old days. I'm going to tell you something. The good old days weren't all that good. You know what I mean? The good old days had its problems like today has its problems. We think everything was better yesterday. You know, some of us tend, and I tend to do this, I look back and I look forward, and I miss very many blessings of today because I like to look back and look forward. I want to tell you, if you look back too much, if we spend too much time looking back, we will be paralyzed from going forward. Do you understand what I'm saying? If we spend too much time looking at the past, we will be paralyzed from going forward and nothing will happen. Besides that, we're never going to bring back the days that are gone. I'll never be 25 years ago again. My children will never be elementary students again. One of these days, I'm looking forward to this, I will never have a kid in college. Woo! Those, you know, times change and things move and everything's different. But was it better then? It might have seemed better. But we look back and we think, well, we can spend so much time just dwelling on that and staring at that. And we can be paralyzed from going forward. Listen, I want to tell you something. I want you to get this. The best days of First Baptist Church St. Charles don't have to be behind us. You know, a lot of times we say the best days of this church are ahead of us. That is not what I said, because I want you to hear it, because I'm throwing responsibility to you and me both. Here's the responsibility. The best days of First Baptist Church do not have to be behind us. Going forward should be, can be better. But in many regards, it's up to us. What are we going to do about it? How are we going to deal with this? Well, some of this discouragement affects us. So when the memory of the past overshadows the reality of the present, that becomes a discouragement and a problem. Number two, when the progress of the present is underwhelming. So Haggai looks at the situation, and remember, they have worked some. It's not like they just showed up and went, took a nap and didn't do anything. They worked, but it wasn't going well. And Haggai said to the people, listen, I know the resources aren't here that we had before. Resources change. So we look back, and there are some churches. Now, we're very, very blessed at First Baptist Church St. Charles because of you have given so faithfully, and because God has blessed us, and then we have given, and we're blessed with those resources. There are some churches that don't have any financial resources, and they don't know what they're going to do. They have a problem with a building. Maybe the air conditioner goes out, and they think, boy, the air conditioner's out. I guess we're going to have to raise some money to get it fixed. We've not had that problem here. But there are other resources that we don't have. I wish we had more Sunday school or Bible study teachers. I wish we had more leaders, more people that take responsibility and role in this way. I'm going to be honest with you. I wish we had more Sunday school rooms. We just don't have enough meeting spaces. I wish we had larger meeting spaces. But I can't change any of those things. And we can get really discouraged about that. The progress of the present is overwhelming. The memory of the past overshadows the reality of the present. Number three, when the enemy is constantly fighting against us. In the book of Ezra, we get a little bit of a taste of what's going on in their lives and what they're dealing with. And it talks about the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin in Ezra chapter 4. The adversaries of Judah and Benjamin, they heard that the descendants of the captivity were building the temple of the Lord their God. And they came and went to Zerubbabel and to Joshua and they said to them, hey, we want to build with you. We want to be a part of this. And said, listen, we've done this same thing before and we've served this God before. But Zerubbabel and Joshua and the rest of the heads of the fathers of the house of Israel said to him, you may do nothing with us to build a house for our God, but we're going to do it by ourselves. And then they turned against them. Verse 4 says, then the people of the land tried to discourage the people of Judah, and they troubled them in their building. So what we see is now, not only do we have the discouragement of the, you know, they're looking at the past and the future, looking at where they are, looking at the resources, and now they have people who are actually fighting against them. I want to tell you something. When you find a church that needs to get busy about rebuilding and the church is burdened about it, I'm going to tell you something. You've got a pastor that's really burdened about it, the church is. He's really burdened about it. If the need is there, I can guarantee he's burdened about it. So what do we deal with? I want you to turn your Bibles. I want to hear pages turning. Ephesians chapter 6, all right? I want to hear those thin pages turning. If it's an electronic Bible, I want to see that finger going like this, you know? If you're on your phone or something. Ephesians chapter 6, because I want you to get this. I want you to see this. Because we're not dealing with hammers and nails. We're not dealing with wood that's out of trim. Or a frame that needs to be straightened, anything like that. Those things are fixable. You know, they say you can go into a house and there's nothing that cannot be repaired. I will argue that point, but some, you know, they'll come, oh, it may be a lot of money. Anything can be repaired. They can fix foundations. They can do all these things. But we're not talking about hammer and nails. We're not talking about wood and fiber and all these things. Here's what we're talking about. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. In other words, tangible things that we can put our hand on. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. You know what he's saying? We are wrestling against Satan and his demons every day we do battle for the church. That's who we're wrestling against. And then, don't you find it interesting that he says, hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places? They're trying to do everything they can to discourage us in the rebuilding of the church. Just like those folks were trying to do everything they could do to discourage Haggai and Zerubbabel and Joshua, everything they could do to stop it. We don't even have physical people. We've got things that we can't see, powers that we can't understand, satanic influence that's out there that's going against us. And we're seeing it that's being manifested so much in our media and our culture these days. And we hear so much of it on the news. You know, we get so upset about what's going on in our news and our world and the sin that's taking place in our culture. And we get frustrated with people. People are lost. People are going to act lost. The reality is, what's driving them? Satanic powers. Verse 13. Therefore, because of all this, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done this all, to stand. Then he begins to go into detail to telling us to put on the helmet of salvation and breastplate of faith, to do all these things. Shield of faith and make all these moves because we can't do it on our own. Listen, there's great discouragement that you and I are fighting. If you get busy about trying to rebuild the church of God, I'm going to promise you, you're going to be discouraged by the powers of Satan. There will be influenced. There will be discouragement. There will be problems. These things will come. All right, number four. So when the enemy is constantly fighting against us, when the progress of the present is underwhelming, when the memory of the past overshadows the reality of the present, number four, when the prospect of the future is unclear. Now, the prophecy of Haggai right here is what we call an eschatological prophecy. When he's talking about this temple. Now, they did rebuild the temple. They did these things. But he's talking about the glory coming in. It's about end times, all right? When it's all said and done. End times. Now, here's one thing I can tell you. I can't tell you when end times are going to be. I'm not going to attempt to make prophecy of that or anything else. I can tell you, as Pastor Tim told us 2 weeks ago, it's soon, and we better be ready. But this I can promise you. We are closer, way closer. I mean, on the doorstep compared to where Haggai was. You understand? Where Zerubbabel was. So when he said, remember what he said when he said, it's just a little while. In not right now, but in just a bit, he said it's coming. And he said he's going to fill the temple. And all these people, this temple would be a desire of all the world. That day is coming. But you and I, we look at this and we look at the future. We think, well, you know, what good is it? Satan just tried to discourage us. You're just wasting your time. What's the point of that? I mean, they're not going to come to church. If you've invited people to come to church with you and they turned you down, keep trying. The latest statistic is in the 80 percentile of people that when we really ask them to come to church, friends of ours, they will come. So 80 plus percent will come, and we just get discouraged when we invite somebody and they don't come. How about the gospel? Share the gospel with them. I have shared the gospel with a lot of people. More have rejected the message then accepted it. Did I waste my time? Absolutely not. When I was about 15 years old, my friend and I went to his neighbor and started sharing the gospel with his neighbor, who was the same age as us. And we shared the gospel. We witnessed to him. We talked to him. And he rejected it and went on. And I thought, well, I guess that guy probably never got saved. I'm going to tell you about 10 years ago, a man walked into this church and started talking to me. He said, "You don't remember who I am, do you?" And I said, "Well, no." He said, "My name is Dave Voltz." He said, "My name is Dave Voltz." I said, "Oh, man, you used to live next door to Glenn." He said, "Yes." He said, "I need to tell you something." He said, "You guys pushed the gospel on me and I rejected it." He said, "I got into college and my world fell apart." He said, "I remembered those words that you guys said. And I got on my knees and I prayed. I received Christ as my Savior." He said, "I've even been working in ministry." And I was overwhelmed, brought to tears. You know, when the Bible says the word of God will not return void, God means it. God means it. Don't get discouraged and quit sharing the gospel. I mean, you may not be around. You may not see how God uses and blesses the fruits of your labor. You may not know it, but I'm telling you, when we get busy about rebuilding the church of God and getting back to the work that he's called us to do, God will bless it. He will bless it. All right, so those are the four common discouragements that we can face when it's time to rebuild. Number two, there are lessons that we can get from the prophet Haggai in this study. In these two chapters, there's a lot of lessons. I'm going to pull six of them out. All right, number one, leaders must lead or people will suffer. Leaders must lead or people will suffer. They needed a leader with vision and the courage to stand up. God said, "Haggai, I want you to go to Zerubbabel, political leader, and I want you to go to Joshua, spiritual leader." And then he said to them, "You better speak up." He called them to speak up and to take a stand for God. Leaders must lead. If God has called you to lead, you better lead. You better lead. I had a lady at the end of the service this morning. She came to me and talked to me about a relationship with Christ. And next Sunday, I'm going to introduce her because she actually, she has accepted Christ. And today she joined our church. And she said, I kept thinking about what you said when you said that God has called out Zerubbabel's. And she said, I felt very strongly God called me last week to stand up and step out, and I didn't do it. She said, then today I know what God wants me to do. And I said, what does he want you to do? She said, well, I know he wants me to start by becoming a part of this church. And she said, how do I do that? So I helped her, and she joined the church at 8:45 at the end of the service. Listen, God last Sunday, and not just last Sunday, before, after, during, and even today, God is calling Zerubbabel's to step out and to be a leader. And if God has called you, you must respond. If God has put a call on you to step out and be a leader and to be a Zerubbabel, you've got to do it. He said, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtai, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. He said, they have got to take a stand. So leaders must lead or people will suffer. I guarantee if we as leaders, God has put something on our heart in our life, and we just choose to sit down, I'll let somebody else do it. What would happen to First Baptist Church if your pastors quit leading? If all of a sudden we quit going farther, farther, and we quit seeing the vision God has called us to, we quit doing what God has called us to, what would happen to First Baptist Church St. Charles? Well, I tell you, you'd either get new leaders or you would cease to exist. And you should get new leaders if we did that. All right, leaders must lead or the people are going to suffer. Number two, in our disappointment, God reassures us of his presence. Now look at verse 4 and 5. He said, yet now, be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Did you notice he didn't just say be strong? He called him by name. Because God's call is personal. He called him by name. Be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Joshua, the high priest. And be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord. Notice this. And work. Don't sit down and think about it. Don't form a committee. Don't have a prayer meeting. Work. He said, get out there and work. And he's why. Here's why. For I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the word I covenanted with you, coveted. He said, I made a promise to you, and I'm going to keep my promise when you came out of Egypt. And so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. In our disappointments, God assures us that of his presence. God is with us. You know, I shared this morning. I'll share it again. When I was a little boy, I don't know, probably 8 years old, we used to go down to a cabin on the Gasconade River. And I don't remember a whole lot about it, but I remember one night that my dad wanted to check trot lines. That's when you string a heavy line across the river. He laid out there, and it's got giant hooks on it. And we were trying to catch catfish. And so we were going to trick that trot line for some reason in the dark late at night. I have no idea why my dad felt like that was the best time to do it. But we got in a John boat that was probably 6 or 8 feet long and a little motor in the back, you know, tiller motor. And my dad said, now you get in the front of the boat. And he handed me a little flashlight. I remember holding on to that flashlight, and he said, keep pointing it forward. Don't take your eyes off the water. But then I started seeing that light reflecting on the eyes of animals on the side of the Gasconade River, and I turned the light. He goes, no, I need to see that. I need to see that in front of you. Keep it in front of you. Keep it in front of you. So I'm scared to death. And you know what I'm doing? Dad, you back there? I knew he had to be because the boat's going straight. Dad, you're still there, right? Yes, Jerry, I'm still here. Keep the light on the water. Dad, you sure you're there? God is reassuring us of that very thing. And you know what? It's okay to say, God, I'm scared. Are you still there? And God, he'll just reassure our hearts. He'll reassure us that he is there. He's with us. He's not going to leave us. Number three, God strengthens us to rise above our disappointments. Now, three times in this one verse, he's saying, be strong. Be strong. Not in your own strength, not in your own ability, but in His. Number four, God's presence motivates us not to give up. I said this a while ago. He said, be strong and work. You know what can happen? We can get so busy and we get discouraged. We look around us and it's not doing any good at all. I'm just going to stay home. Well, you're just contributing to the problem if you do that. I'm not going to work anymore. Somebody's hurt my feelings. I'm going to sit on the pew. I'm going to sit in the back. I'm not going to talk to anybody. I'm going to check the box by coming to church, but I'm not going to do anything else because every time I try to do something, somebody hurts my feelings, something goes wrong, I'm done. You know what you're doing? You're working for Satan. You're Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 kind of guy. You're busy about the works of Satan. Listen, I know people hurt your feelings. I know bad things happen. I know we get discouraged. He says, don't quit. Work. Stay busy about it. Stay busy about God's word. Number five, God leads his people to face the future with faith and not fear. Verse 5, according to the word that I coveted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. My spirit is still. In other words, he's saying, you know what? Reach back. I'm still here. I'm still at the back of the boat. I'm still here. Don't be afraid. He's saying, don't be afraid. I'm still here. I haven't left you. Verse 9, the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. He said, listen, I know you can't see it right now. I know you can't imagine it right now, but you're working for something greater than putting people in the seats. You're working for greater than something greater than raising an offering or doing anything like that. You're working for the kingdom. We're not talking about just First Baptist Church. We're talking about the future. You know, when I told you it was eschatological, which means end times, it means we're working for that. There's nothing in your life that you've done more valuable than share the gospel with somebody or lead somebody to the Lord. I promise you, you may have built a foundation, but it's going to die someday. You may have built a beautiful house, a beautiful home, but it's going to deteriorate. It's going to crumble in years. You may have built an empire, but it's not going to last through eternity. Whatever you did like that in this world is not going to go to heaven. You know what will go to heaven? People that you share Jesus with. You know, I can't imagine the rejoicing when we get up there and we get to visit with all those people that we have led to Jesus and we've brought in. Be busy about the work of God. And finally, number six. This is important. The people were in the situation that they were in, where they were in captivity, Babylonian captivity. The people were in the condition they were in after they got back and they quit working and the blessings of God had ceased. All of this was happening for one reason. The people had forgotten God. He just wasn't important anymore. Now, as I shared with you last week, they were religious people. They knew the right things to do. They just didn't do them. So you can come and sit in a pew and sing songs and you can go through all the motions. But if you leave here unchanged and you leave here and don't ever share anything the Holy Spirit has challenged you to do, if you come here and you walk out and say, no, I'm not going to be a Zerubbabel, no way. I'm not going to be a Joshua, I ain't doing it. You're not helping the cause. In fact, that very apathy is what put them in Babylonian captivity. In Haggai chapter 2, verse 6, if you still have your Bible, I want you to read that with me. Look at verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, but once more I will shake heaven and earth, sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations. And they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Silver is mine, gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. I want to tell you a couple things. One, God isn't through with you yet. Do you understand that? Can you say that to yourself? God isn't through with me yet. Say that. God isn't through with me yet. I want you to believe that. Because until God calls you home, you know when God is finished with you? When you fold your hands and you close your eyes. All right, he's done. Bring him on up. God isn't through with you yet. Let me tell you something else. God isn't finished with First Baptist Church St. Charles yet. And I 100% believe that the best days certainly can be ahead of us. But some of us lying in the hands of the Zerubbabels that the Holy Spirit spoke to last week. So I'm going to leave you with one question and we're going to have an invitation. God is going to do great things. Here's my question. Are you going to be a part of it? That's your decision today. Are you going to be a part of it? I want you to bow your head, close your eyes. Now, I want you to be open, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. I want you to begin thinking about this. Every head bowed, every eye closed, thinking about this. All right, God, you called me last week to be a Zerubbabel, and I have unfinished business with you. God, I know I need to move. I know I need to get things right. I know I need to do this. God, I know I need to be a leader. God, I know I need to step out. God, I know these things. Then why aren't you doing it? You might just need to come down here and on the stairs and pray today. Maybe you just had to say, God, I'm right here for you, God. Whatever God is saying to you today, whether it's join the church, come to know him as Savior, or step out and be as Zerubbabel or Joshua, do it. Please don't leave here undone. God, I pray that you be with us today. Lord, we give this time to you. We love you. God, I know you're calling out Zerubbabels right here among us. God, I know there are Joshuas that your Holy Spirit is dealing with right now. God, help us to make the right decision and follow you. Bless this church, God. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.